today on The King is Coming.
So as we study Bible prophecy, we need to know that it is from God, it is for us, and it's meant to bless us. It's meant to enhance our, not only our minds, our hearts, and our wills, but our entire lifestyles. And finally, it's meant to not scare us, but to prepare us for these last days that we're living in. What exactly is Bible prophecy, and what specifically can it do for me in my life right now? We're going to find out today on The King is Coming.
Jesus spoke often about the end of the world and what it would mean for you as a believer. In Matthew 24, he said, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Nation will rise against nation, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places." Jesus wasn't trying to scare us. He was preparing us. In our brand new 6-part DVD series, Jesus and the End of the World, we'll uncover what Jesus taught about the signs of the times, the hope of His return, and how we can live with courage and faith in uncertain days. Call now to receive this powerful series for any gift of $45 or more to The King is Coming today. Discover how the words of Jesus will bring clarity, confidence, and hope for today and tomorrow. Call now or go to thekingiscoming.com. Thank you.
Well, welcome to The King is Coming. I'm Jeff Kinley. I'm so glad you've joined us today. We're beginning a new series here called The Secrets of Bible Prophecy. What is Bible prophecy all about? And how can I best understand it in my life today? We're going to begin this series by talking about really the nature of Bible prophecy. Exactly what is it, and how can I understand it better? We'll explore many different aspects of understanding and interpreting Bible prophecy as we get closer to this series here. We're going to begin by looking at the nature of Bible prophecy, and the first thing we need to know is that Bible prophecy essentially is divine in its origin. In other words, prophecy comes from God, because only God can tell the future. You know, there are many people today that claim to be able to predict what's coming next. You have people in the stock market predicting what's going to happen. You have people talking about geopolitical events, what's going to happen. And then you get into more of the spiritual realm. You have people who try to read palms or tell the future based on the stars or astrology. But you know what? Only God knows the future, because Bible prophecy at its essence is God writing history in advance. In other words, He's giving us a sneak preview of coming events. And so Bible prophecy essentially is divine in its nature. And then secondly, as I alluded to, Bible prophecy tells us about the future. So prophecy is not just telling what God is saying, which is a form of the prophetic gift as we see it in the New Testament and even in the Old Testament, where the prophets would essentially tell us what's happening right now and what God wants us to know, but they also predict what's going to happen in the future. And so that's part of the nature of Bible prophecy. So it's divine in its nature, and it tells the future. Now, one of the questions we have to ask ourselves is, why don't more people study Bible prophecy? Why is it that only about 1-2% of America's churches are really teaching on this subject? Well, let me give you four problems I think that we have to overcome in order for us to get more Bible prophecy into America's churches. The first is this, is that people will say, well, Bible prophecy is very difficult to interpret. Now, I'm going to devote an entire program to how to interpret Bible prophecy. That's coming up in an upcoming program. But when we look at Bible prophecy, people, they look at it, their perspective on it is that it's sort of a biblical Rubik's cube. You know those cubes that have the multicolors on them that some people can solve in a matter of seconds? Well, we look at that. We look at Bible prophecy, and it looks like some unsolvable puzzle. But is it? Is Bible prophecy really an unsolvable puzzle? I don't think so. And here's why. Because much of the Bible, when you read it at its face value, is understandable. You can see it immediately. In fact, there's some Bible verses that I call low-hanging fruit. In other words, anybody can pass by and just pick it off the tree. Verses like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Or maybe something like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Or even, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Or pray about everything. Those are things that don't require a whole lot of interpretive skills. But then there are other passages in the Bible. There are other doctrines, other subjects, other topics that require what we call Bible study. And so basically what that means is that we have to pull over, we have to park, we have to call a timeout, and we have to take the time to do the kind of study that is necessary to understanding the Scriptures. Because if you'll consider, the Bible was written a long time ago. In fact, there are many different gaps that separate us from really understanding the Bible many times. There's the gap of time. There's the gap of language. There's the gap of culture there. So there are many different gaps that separate us. There's customs in the Bible. And just the way worldviews, the way people understood things back then. So we sort of have to get our minds into the culture. We have to go back in time, if you will, and to be able to get ourselves into the mind of those who lived in that day and ask some very important questions. So that requires time. And let's face it, we spend so much time doing so many other things with our lives. We need to really take time apart and say, this is dedicated Bible study time. So that's one of the reasons why people don't understand it. Here's another big reason is this, and I hear this all the time. They say, well, Jeff, I've never heard my pastor preach on Revelation or Daniel or the end times or discerning the times or the last days or what's going to happen at the end of time, anything like that. Now, why is that? Well, I've listed in several of my books, one of my books that we've talked about here on The King is Coming, The End of America, I have a list of 10 questions or 10 reasons, rather, why pastors just don't step their toe into that world of Bible prophecy. Let me give you a few of them here today. One is that a pastor may not feel qualified to teach on the subject. Now, there are many pastors today that are what we call bivocational. In other words, being a pastor is not their full-time job. They may sell real estate on the side or maybe a carpenter or maybe do some other job, construction or whatever. And this is not their full-time job. Maybe they've never been to seminary or maybe never been formally trained in how to understand the Scriptures. You know, 80% of the churches in America are under 200 people. That's 80% of them. So when you see these great big mega churches, those are not the norms. So 80% are 200, and then 60% of those churches right there are under about 60 people. So mainly, most churches are anywhere from 60 to 100 people, and that's a fairly decent-sized church. Well, some of those churches can't afford a pastor, so that pastor is bivocational, so he doesn't really have the luxury and feel qualified to teach on the subject. Another reason is because preaching on prophecy, like many other difficult doctrines in the Bible, requires hard work. It requires, as we said, those large tracts of time that's devoted to just studying the Bible. It means locking that study door. It means opening the Bible, getting commentary spread out, maybe looking at some Greek and Hebrew or whatever. But it means taking the time to really make sure that a pastor does that. And some pastors, quite honestly, are involved and they're doing meetings, they're visiting people, they're doing all these other pastoral duties, which are very important to do. But the primary job of a pastor, according to Ephesians chapter 4, is to equip the saints. Equip the saints. The number one job of a pastor is to know the Bible and to know it well enough to where he can communicate it effectively to his congregation. Those other things are also important, but this is the most important thing. Some pastors don't do that. Other pastors view prophecy as something that is controversial, maybe even offensive or frightening to some people. And I find that's one of the reasons why people don't study more Bible prophecy. But there's another very important reason why I find that pastors don't preach on prophecy. I'll tell you what it is next when we come back on The King is Coming. We're living in a world filled with chaos, confusion, and quite frankly, wickedness. The world needs Jesus now, at this time, more than ever before. The King is Coming is helping to meet that need by bringing hope, help, and clarity to people who desperately need it. Please consider a donation to this ministry. Be a monthly donor, be a weekly donor, anything to help partner with us to help get the gospel out to the world. We appreciate your prayerful consideration. Another big reason why pastors refuse to teach on Bible prophecy is simply because there are different views on eschatology or the study of the end times. Different views about the end times, the rapture, the millennial kingdom, the book of Revelation. In fact, we're going to do an entire program devoted to that exact subject. How do we understand all the different views? But because pastors don't want to be divisive, they simply avoid talking about the different views. But look, here's a couple of things we need to understand. Number one, truth by its very nature can be divisive. In other words, if you say 2 + 2 = 4 or gravity is real, you're going to have somebody disagree with you on that. Or you say that a man is a man and a woman is a woman. You're going to have people disagree with you on basic truth. When you get into biblical truth, yeah, of course you're going to have people that would disagree, and that can be divisive. But pastors have to stand by the truth. And there's a second reason why pastors avoid this and why pastors should still preach on it is because there can only be one correct view regarding the end times or the timing of the second coming or the meaning of the book of Revelation. There can only be one correct view according to God. So it's not to say that someone is dogmatic or mean-spirited or abrasive about it, but at least teach a view that has the greatest scriptural support. And so pastors definitely need to do that. Well, there are many other reasons why pastors should preach on Bible prophecy. Some pastors will say, well, it's not relevant to my people, and so I want to teach on marriage and financial seminars and how to be happy, how to overcome stress. And hey, those are great subjects, but listen, Bible prophecy and really the Bible itself is more than just a self-help seminar. We have to make sure that people are equipped to know how to handle what's coming in the future and to live in these last days. So pastors are called to preach the whole counsel of God, not just certain sections of it. Here's a third reason why people refuse to get into Bible prophecy is they say, Jeff, I'm afraid of Revelation. I'm afraid of the end times. I've read some of the things in Revelation, and quite frankly, they sort of scare me. So how do I handle that? Well, here's a couple of things. I think that when we have a correct view of God and a proper right relationship with God, then that pretty much eliminates all of the fear, all of the fear of the future. In fact, the phrase, do not be afraid, occurs about 71 times in the Bible. And so God doesn't want us to be afraid. 2 Timothy 1:7 says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, a spirit of timidity, a spirit of fear, but a sound mind and of discipline. And so God doesn't want us to be afraid. So we should never be afraid to read God's Word. God wrote it for us. And if He thinks it's appropriate for us to read, then we should certainly trust Him and trust His character about that. And then finally, people will say this to me all the time. They say, Jeff, I don't see the relevancy of Revelation to my daily life. Now, those other verses you quoted earlier about I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, those type of things, those things are a lot easier for me to apply to my life. So tell me, how does Bible prophecy help me right now? Well, I want to give you several benefits of Bible prophecy. If we get through with this, it'll be 15 of them. We'll see how it goes here. But there are many, many more we could talk about. Here's a couple things that Bible prophecy does. Number one, it helps us understand the times that we live. Listen, we're living in confusing, chaotic times. And it's not easy to understand what's going on. Why is this happening? And where are things going? Well, the Bible tells us these things. In fact, there's a verse in 2 Chronicles 12:32 that says, it talks about the sons of Issachar, who were men who understood the times with wisdom as to what Israel should do. So when you know the Bible, you know what's coming. When you know the Bible, you know how to handle what's coming and how to live right now. And so it helps us understand the times. I love what Daniel says in Daniel chapter 2, verse 28, when Nebuchadnezzar has a dream and no one can interpret his dream. And Daniel says to the king, he says, there is a God in heaven who is a revealer of mysteries. I love that. God is a revealer of mysteries. And certainly the future is a mystery. And certainly the times in which we're living can be a mystery as well. Here's a second benefit of Bible prophecy, is that it calms our fears about the future. I love what Jesus said. The last thing he said to his disciples, essentially, when he took them up on the Mount of Olives, and we read in Matthew 28, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel, making disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then he said this, he said, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. That would include prophecy, right? And then he says this, this comforting phrase here. He says, and lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. Listen, we can be confident that Jesus Christ is going to be with us no matter what happens. Like what Psalm 46 says, even if the mountains themselves should crumble into the sea, we know that God is with us. So no matter what happens in this world, we don't have to be afraid. Jesus is saying, I am with you and you have a future with me and I'm never going to leave you. So knowing God's presence is with us really takes away all the fears about the future. Because, you know, it's not really what happens to us. It's who's with us. It's that presence of God. So number three, a great benefit of Bible prophecy is that it gives us confidence, courage, and comfort in the present time. You know, this is an amazing passage when we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And when Paul is talking about the rapture of the church, and of course the rapture can be a very, unsettling subject to people who don't understand it. But he talks about the fact that we're going to be catapulted up to heaven. We're going to go to heaven to be with Jesus. But I love at the end of this incredibly densely prophetic passage, listen to what he says in verse 18. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. These words, what words? Well, the words about the rapture, the words about the blessed hope, the words about Jesus Christ returning to gather us up to be with him. He says, comfort one another. So I look at the Bible and I find that prophecy gives me a sense of comfort. Now listen, Jesus said in John 16, 33, while you're in this world, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have problems. You're going to have tribulation, lowercase t. You're going to go through distress and trials. There's going to be difficult times, challenges, struggles. We all experience that. Various kinds of temptations, James 1 says. But watch this. Jesus says, but I have overcome the world. And he prefaced that by saying, take courage, I have overcome the world. Now listen, if Jesus has overcome the world and Jesus is living in us through the Holy Spirit, we know that we will overcome as well. In fact, 1 John chapter 4 tells us whatever is born of God overcomes the world. That means we have the capacity, the ability, the strength, the endurance, everything we need to overcome whatever obstacle, whatever challenge, whatever temptation that might come our way in this life. And knowing that gives us incredible confidence. Now listen, there's some other great benefits of Bible prophecy we're going to get into when we come back on The King is Coming. We're living in a world filled with chaos, confusion, and quite frankly, wickedness. The world needs Jesus now, at this time, more than ever before. The King is Coming is helping to meet that need by bringing hope, help, and clarity to people who desperately need it. Please consider a donation to this ministry. Be a monthly donor, be a weekly donor. Anything to help partner with us to help get the gospel out to the world. We appreciate your prayerful consideration. Another incredible benefit of Bible prophecy is that it increases our faith in God Himself because God is in control. Now, this is what I love about the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 6 through 18, God unveils the most horrific sets of judgments that will ever come to pass on this planet. It's going to be a horrible time for those who dwell upon the earth. But in chapter 4, before he tells John that, he says in chapter 4, he says, John, come up here and let me show you what must take place. And when John gets to heaven, the thing that he sees, that thing that overshadows everything about heaven, is a throne. In fact, the word throne is mentioned 13 times in 11 verses. And John sees that throne. He sees someone who's seated upon the throne, who is occupying the throne. Now, what does that tell John there? It tells John that God is in charge, that heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool, and there's not a single maverick molecule in this universe. God is maintaining everything. God is in control over everything that's happening. I love what Psalm 115, verse 3 says. It says, "Our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases." You see, this is a concept we call the sovereignty of God. It means that though things may be happening here on the earth that look out of control, that God is over all things, and all things are moving towards its appointed end in history, just as God prophesied. It's kind of like being on a cruise ship. You can be on a cruise ship and you can go swimming, you can go water sliding, play volleyball, you can go down to the casino and waste your money. You can eat, you can do all things on a cruise ship. You have the freedom to do that. You have the freedom to do bad things on a cruise ship. Guess what? That cruise ship is still heading in a direction, and guess who's directing the cruise ship? The captain of the ship. So while people may run around here on this earth, do whatever they want to, seems like things are out of control, the ship is still moving towards God's historic and prophetic end. So it gives us confidence in God's word. Here's another great benefit, is that it builds expectancy and anticipation for what's coming. All throughout the Bible, and specifically in the New Testament, we are told that we have an incredible future ahead of us. In fact, when we get to our question and answer time, we're going to talk about some of the future hope that we have from some questions that have come in. But when we read Revelation chapter 22, God tells us about this amazing new heavens and new earth that He's created for us. Every time you pray the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," you're praying for a time when God's going to make all things right and when you can anticipate that incredible future. Listen, what God has planned for us is better than 1,000 Christmas mornings. It's going to be incredible. And 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has even entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love Him." So don't worry, Christian. God has an amazing future planned for you. Another great benefit of Bible prophecy is that it gives us positive hope in a hopeless world. There's so many people today who just simply have no hope. Well, listen, God's prophetic promises concerning the future gives people hope. He's promised heaven to everyone who believes in Him. He's promised eternal life and knowing God to those who come into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He's promised to deliver us from the wrath to come. And so there's hope. There's hope not just for the future. There's hope right now that we can, as I said, overcome and have the peace of God that floods our hearts. So there's hope that comes from it. Also, Bible prophecy keeps us centered in an age of doctrinal error and of heresy and of false teaching. We're going to talk about false teachers here in this series on the secrets of Bible prophecy. Look, if you know what God says in His prophetic word, then you can recognize what's not true. You can spot the counterfeit, if you will, and you'll know that. So that'll steer you from the potholes and the landmines and the traps that Satan may set for you. Another great benefit of Bible prophecy is that it blesses you as you listen and obey its prophetic words. In Revelation 1, verse 3, it says this. It says, "Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and who heed the things that are written in it." In other words, God says, "I'm going to give you a special blessing if you read Revelation. If you hear it preached, you're going to be blessed. And if you obey its prophecies, if you obey what I tell you to do in this book." And the reason why that's so important for us to do now is because of the last phrase in this verse. Verse 3 says, "For the time is near." The time is near. So it promises a great blessing. So you're just going to be blessed just by reading the book of Revelation. It also motivates us to be urgent about our mission here on planet Earth. Knowing that we only have a limited time and that God's prophetic clock is ticking even as we speak, then it tells us that we have to be urgent about our mission. Not panicky, but purposefully urgent. We have to know where we are, why we are, when we are, and what we are, so that we can do the best to the most people there. Scripture also tells us with Bible prophecy that it helps us prioritize spiritual things over physical things. Psalm 90 tells us, teach us to number our days so that we can present to you a heart of wisdom. We know in 2 Peter chapter 3, which we'll talk about in a future episode, God's going to burn this whole planet up and give us a whole new heavens and a whole new earth. And guess what? Knowing these things are like that, it says, what kind of people must you be? So it helps us not to allow the material world to really be in charge of us. Two more quick ones here. It purifies us as we prepare ourselves as Christ's bride. I love what 1 John 3, verses 2 and 3 says. It says, whoever has this hope within himself purifies himself just as he is pure. This simply means that we as the bride of Christ are getting ready for the wedding day. We're purifying ourselves. We're saying no to all other loves so that we can give ourselves completely to Him. And then finally, Bible prophecy helps us to know what to expect as we live for God in an increasingly hostile world. In other words, Jesus said in John 15, He said, listen, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they obeyed my words, they'll obey yours. If they disobeyed my words, they'll disobey your words. And Jesus is basically saying that if we follow Him, that we're going to find ourselves in an increasingly hostile world, a world that is opposed to us. However, as we said earlier, knowing that's coming helps us to prepare for that. And, watch this, it helps us to overcome whatever obstacle that Satan puts in our way. So as we study Bible prophecy, we need to know that it is from God, it is for us, and it's meant to bless us. It's meant to enhance our not only our minds, our hearts, and our wills, but our entire lifestyles. And finally, it's meant to not scare us, but to prepare us for these last days that we're living in. So there are many, many other benefits of Bible prophecy, but as we begin this series on the secrets of Bible prophecy, we need to lay this foundation of what is it, how does it benefit me, and how can I use it for my life? I'll see you next time on The King is Coming. My latest book, The End of the World According to Jesus of Nazareth, is a book that takes you to the end times through the eyes of Jesus Himself. If you'd like a copy of this book, make a donation to The King is Coming. God bless.
You don't want to miss this opportunity to get Jeff Kinley's newest book. For any gift of $20 or more to The King is Coming, get your copy of The End of the World According to Jesus of Nazareth. Call now or go to thekingiscoming.com today. Thank you.
We've been studying Uncovering the Mysteries of God here at The King is Coming, and I've written a book by the same title. I'd love for you to have a copy. Just go to thekingiscoming.com and order your copy today.
For any gift of $20 or more, order your copy of Uncovering the Mysteries of God today. Call the number on your screen or go to thekingiscoming.com. Thank you.